Let me first say to all of our fathers who are here, those who are tuned in online, happy Father's Day. I know that we usually praise mamas and then beat the daddies up on Father's Day, but we're not going to do that. At least that's not my goal. But what I would like to do is also ask our fathers to stand up. We did that with our mothers. Hey, I don't have a plan for you. But thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for making the decision to raise you can sit back down. Raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for those who have served as elders of this God's Forever family. Thank you for those fathers that currently do. Thank you for the future ones. Thank you for the deacons, the ministry leaders, the Bible teachers, and those who are just so full of encouragement. It is special to have fathers. It is a call from God for godly fathers to be the heads of their household. And I am so thankful that we are full of them here. I like starting lessons like today or any lesson with good news. And I just wanted to practice because I'm going to have some more folks stand up. So just getting everybody used to it a little bit. Wednesday night after services, it was a very special moment. We shared it on our Facebook page and so many have already seen that. But family that has visited here, been visiting here for a few weeks now, really got to know them through Vacation Bible School and such, but the studies have been going on some time before that. The POS, I know, had a lot to do with reaching out and having Bible study with the Dial family, especially Becca. And it came time for Becca to say that she was ready to be immersed in water for the remission, forgiveness of all her sins this past Wednesday night. And she did that. And so what I'm going to do, since it's Becca, is I'm going to get Reagan to stand up. He didn't know that was coming. Now, Becca, stand up with Reagan. She is... And they also have... that is not theirs. That is the Pose child. But they have little Peyton, who's so cute around here. But, Becca, welcome to the family, God's Forever family. We're so proud of you. So thank you very much. Then also, we have had another family that has been visiting with us for quite some time, a family that have long histories in the church, long histories in the church, but also in teaching and working and doing great things. And today, I'd actually had a little bit of heads up, but today I just went to them and said, hey, it's time. We're ready for them to go to work here at Azalea City, and I am very proud of them. They're familiar faces to a lot of us, and I'll say more about that in a minute. But I'm going to have David, Shelley, Emery, and Elias Newberry stand up, please. They are officially now members of the Azalea City Church of Christ. We're proud of them. Shelley, I have known longer than David, but I have known of David, especially David's father. I've been able to spend a lot of time. David's father's a minister and spent a lot of time with him over preacher forums and such, but I've grown to really know and love David and appreciate him. But Shelley is not an unfamiliar face to us. She has been a part of Azalea City Christian School here for quite some time. She's very young, but she's just been around for quite some time. So, hey, she's the same age as my wife, so I have to say that, right? So, anyhow, but we're proud of them, proud to have Shelley part, not only here at the school, but now part here of Azalea City as well. So, get to know all these folks, welcome them, let them know that you can help them in any way that you can, and we're ready to be able to do great things with this family. Again, happy Father's Day. I am so thankful that today is Father's Day. I am so thankful that it is our heavenly Father's Day. I came across this some time ago, and I wanted to share it with you. I just thought it was sweet about fathers or dads or whatever we're calling them today. Walk alongside me, Daddy, and hold my little hand. I have so many things to learn that I don't yet understand. Teach me things to keep me safe from dangers every day. Show me how to do my best at home, at school, at play. Every child needs a gentle hand to guide them as they grow. So walk alongside me, Daddy. We have a long way to go. It's a sweet story of a child reaching up and holding their father's hand. But as you know, those of you who have raised adult children, have teenage children, have children that have now gotten out of the home, it doesn't take long, does it? You know, people talk about it flies by. I can look at my own family and know that it has flown by. Hey, I still have opportunities. Bo, not so much. He didn't really want to reach over and hold Dad's hand. But I think Madeline still will hold my hand. And, you know, but I know there's moments are coming that they're growing up. My children are growing up. Your children are growing up. But the good news about it all, right, is that if we hold their hands and we bring them to Bible class and we bring them to worship and we bring them on Wednesday nights and we have in-home Bible studies and we participate in youth group functions and we do all the things that we're supposed to do as parents, isn't it great that they're going to walk alongside us to heaven? You see, that is the role God has challenged we fathers to do. But we can't do it standing still. We can't do it sitting without moving. Today and all this year, our theme has been forward. We don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to be complacent in our faith. We do not want to be unmoving. We do want to be immovable in our faith, but we don't want to be unmoving in our walk with God. We want to go forward. We want to keep moving. And the best way we can do that is to be the Father that our Heavenly Father desires us to be. So today, what I decided to do is go down a familiar path with you. You know, when you preach a lot of Father's Day lessons and you preach a lot of Mother's Day lessons, sometimes, you know, Theo talked about the struggle of directing our minds. Sometimes it's hard to come up with something different. So today I just went back to the text, just like Theo did. I went back to the text and I looked at a godly father, one that is a Bible hero. I'm guessing it's going to be a familiar story for all of us today, and that's the story of Noah. I love the story of Noah. Yes, there's the ark, and that gets a lot of the love, doesn't it? Yes, there are the animals, and that gets a lot of the love. Yes, there's the rainbow, and that gets a lot of the love. Yes, there's the flood. But long before all that, there was a godly father. A father who did not sit idly by. A father who decided it's time to move. And long before Noah was building an ark with his children, he was building a relationship with God and laying a foundation for his children to make sure they got on that boat. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark. I love that the Hebrew writer put this in here. Do not miss it, folks. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I've used this before. In fact, we talked about it just a couple weeks ago. It was referenced in a Bible class. But I've used this before. Suppose You had somebody who the church hired, the local church hired, as a preacher. And he was, I don't know, a guy from a background that he didn't go to a lot of school. He knew how to work, he knew how to build things, but he didn't have some fancy way to orate his words, right? But along the way he did his John Brown best, as we say around here. And he did it, some say, for 110 years. Now I know you're thinking, that's a long time, I wouldn't be around, whatever. But imagine with me. He preached, hey, it's going to rain, you need to be saved, for around 110 years, and he didn't convert one person. The local church would have fired him a long time ago, right? Noah would not have made it if he were a preacher in a local church, if he got no one into the baptistry. But the reason Noah went down as a hero, and especially on this Father's Day, is because he was a father who got his family on the ark. Now folks, preaching isn't just my responsibility. It is all of our call to be evangelists. But along the way, what kind of evangelists are we if we're not leading our families? Ephesians 6 verse 4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." It is our responsibility to be like Noah. It is our responsibility to not sit idly by. As school, as peers, as social media, as television, as movies, as music. We beat social media up enough. Not enough. We probably need to beat it up a lot more for our children, the impact on our children. But we really ought to go back to talking about music as well. The music today is really vile that our children are listening to, are dancing to on TikTok videos or mocking with their mouths or whatever they're doing. I'm just being real about it. It will turn your hair upside down. But we can't sit idly by, fathers. We can't. As those things influence our children. You see, that responsibility falls on us. Now, you may be saying, well, what if my home is broken? Things happen, right? Life happens. Unfortunate events. Well, hey, we got to have Eunices. We got to have Loises. We got to have those, just like in Timothy's life, those mamas, those grandmothers that stepped up and led and pulled that spiritual lead. But today being Father's Day, I want to really challenge us. Not beat us up. I don't want to beat us up. I want to challenge us to not sit by and let the world take our children. We have a responsibility. So how did Noah do it? What did he do that stood out, that is so practical, that could help us today get our families on the ark? I believe there are four simple things that we can look at Noah and we can all draw from it and we can all apply it to our lives, whether we're husbands, our fathers, mothers, grandparents, single parents, teenagers, wherever we are, we can write this down, we can keep it in our mind, we can put it in our Bibles, wherever it may be, and we can remember this is a great pattern for us to follow. Number one, Noah was a forward-moving father because he walked with God. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. Genesis chapter 6. Let's read together 5 through 10. Or your devices. listen to these words here. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, that really strikes, I don't know, it stands out at me. It leaps off the page at me. And here's why. Because the world is evil today. Okay? I don't know how big the world was in Noah's day. I don't know how many people there were. I mean, population. I don't know how many there were on earth. But I know today you can look around and you can see a lot of evil. I mean, things that are happening that we thought would probably never happen. Things that are being said. Things that are being protested against. Things that are just, it's vile. But then when I look at this, I'm reminded that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. It reminds me that, unfortunately, things can get worse. Now verse 6. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. And I love verse 8 there. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You remember I told you at the beginning of this, it didn't just start when he got the call to build the ark. He had laid the foundation. He didn't just go to his children one day and say, hey, you've been listening to all that garbage on social media. You've been listening to all that garbage music. You've been doing all these Snapchat things and all these Instagram things and all your peers and all that. Hey, it's time to quit that now. We're going to go build an ark and save the world. No. The foundation was laid. Because while man's thoughts are evil continually, but Noah found grace in the sight or the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect or complete in his generations. Noah, we know Noah wasn't a perfect man. He made mistakes. We see them in the Bible even. But he was complete in his generations. Here it is. Noah walked with God. There's our point, isn't it? Very simple. Very powerful. How did Noah do it? Noah walked with God. And then verse 10, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. As I look and I see this scripture, and I see the things that we are reading together, and I see what God wants us, I believe, to see, it reminds me here, even though there was so much evil, Noah walked with God. Is there evil today? You better believe it. But you know what you got to do? You got to walk with God. Let me ask you this question. And I'm not going to ask for answers. And I know these are questions that probably may seem a little bizarre. But would you have to clean out your refrigerator? Or the one in your garage, if somebody from church came over and needed something to drink? Would you have to unsubscribe to some TV channels if somebody came and wanted to watch some TV with you? Would we want to clear out our search history on our internet browsers or our phones if somebody needed to do some searching on the internet? You see, the reality is this. If we're going to clean up for somebody, we better clean up for the ones in that house. I want to be like you, Dad. I can remember, you know, and still to this day, you know, Bo and I mean, we enjoy the same things you know, obviously, you know, it's football and I'm with him and it's working out and I'm with him. I know that in large part, he's into those things because I influenced him. But I'm also thankful he's into being at worship. He's into reading his Bible. He's into doing things because I influenced him. You see, our influence goes a lot of ways, doesn't it? It goes a lot of different ways. The best thing I can do for my children today, even if I've made mistakes and I've got things in my life I'm not proud of and they've seen or they've heard, the best thing I can do is just go to them and say, I am sorry. You're going to see a changed dad because I'm going to move forward walking with God. Even though God was sorry he had made man, Noah walked with God. Even though God was going to wipe man out, Noah walked with God. Noah was a just man. He walked with God. How's our walks today? Mamas, daddies, teenagers, whoever we are, age of accountability folks, are we walking with God? Secondly, this morning, I believe this is really important. I know in counseling this is really important. And I believe in our spiritual walks this is really important. Noah willingly listened to God. You see, when someone sits across from me, whether it's an individual or a couple, it is my responsibility as a counselor to listen to them. In fact, sometimes, and I'm not real comfortable with awkward silence. Even I've told y'all that, you know, when we were going through our studies, Justin would know that, man, there'd be some awkward silence, and Terry's going to be the first one to speak up on there. Even though I may not have been paying attention like I should have, I'm going to speak up because I'm not comfortable with it. And so it's sometimes a challenge for me to shut up and listen. Sorry if I said the bad words there. But sometimes I have to remind myself that harshly. But at the end of the day, what we've got to do is, I'll say it this way, be quiet and listen. God's trying to lead us, right? He's trying to direct our steps. He's trying to light our path. But sometimes we get so clouded, especially as men. Why? Because we don't want others to think we can't do it. You know, sometimes it's hard to admit, okay, I'm not able to do it. It's not in my wheelhouse. Maybe it's not hard for you. But there are sometimes that we all have those moments where we don't want to give it up. We don't want to say, hey, I just can't do it because I can do this on my own. Well, spiritually, we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. So we must be like Noah and willingly listen. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 6, please. Let's read together verses 11 through 22. A little bit longer reading here. Here's how it reads. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and instead it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark. Here's what he tells Noah to do. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. By the way, I hope he was writing all this down, don't you? God is like rapid firing him here. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my promise, my covenant with you. And you shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus, it does not say this, does it? But I think we can safely assume Noah listened. Noah willingly listened, and now the Bible part of it here. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. He can't do it if he doesn't listen. God, fathers, has not asked us to do any of that today. I do believe He's asked us to get our children into the ark, so to speak. To get our wife into the ark. To get our family into the ark. But Noah, God has not asked us to do what Noah did and build this giant floating vessel. Listen, it would take time and be hard to do today. I know some of you have probably been to the Ark Adventure, and I know our teenagers and others have been maybe, but it's an amazing sight, right? But it still took that guy quite a while to do it with today's modern technology. Back then, you know, can you imagine if the oak trees were a little, or the cypress trees were a little bit closer than the gopher wood trees? Shem, Ham, and Japheth, hey Dad, can we really not get, no. That's not what God said. That it's really going to stink in there. Can we put one extra window? No. Because Noah listened. He did it exactly the way God told him to do it. And let me tell you something, folks. If we do it exactly the way God tells us to do it, we're going to get our families on that ark. You know what He told us to do as far as families go? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Raise them up, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He taught us to be examples, to be leaders, to move forward spiritually so that they can move forward spiritually. Thirdly, this morning, Noah got involved, didn't he? He worked hard. Anybody think that building an ark, I don't know exactly how, some again have said 100, 110 years. I think the ark exhibit says, I think 110, something like that, if I remember correctly. And something, it took a long time. Noah worked. He worked hard. You know what else he did? He taught his children to work and to work hard. I believe that's very important. Why? Because we sing the song, don't we? We'll work till Jesus comes. We have hard-working people at this church, men and women alike. We have, the hardest-working people probably around at this church. I know from your lives and from how hard you take or serious you take your jobs and how dedicated you are. You're not just skating by. But I think a question that to be honest with ourselves today, as we move forward today, are we working that hard in the kingdom? Are we teaching our children to work that hard in the kingdom? Noah taught his sons about hard work for our Lord. Here's what the Bible says about it. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, that he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. Hard work matters. I mean, when when it came into the world, right? When hard work, Adam always had to go out and gather. But the ground got hard. It came with thorns after that, right? So the work got a lot harder. Once that came into the world, it's always going to be here. So we got to teach our families to work hard. But that's got to carry over into the church. Think about this. You know, you may say, hey, I can't get up and pray publicly. I can't get up and lead a song. I can't get up and teach a class. No, nobody's saying that. There's plenty to do. There's plenty to do. What we need, I say we as the church needs, we need everybody to not sit idly by. We need people to get up, to get active. There are those who have been, that somewhere along the way, maybe you stopped. There's no greater example to me than for a child to see their parents working for God. Noah worked hard. I believe that's why he was successful in getting those children on the ark, one of the reasons. But finally this morning, I believe this sums it all up. Noah worshiped God. Think about this. 40 days, 40 nights, lots of rain, right? It came from everywhere. Down from the heavens, up from the grounds, and it was a lot of water. Covered all the mountains and covered everything, right? It wiped it all out except for that was able to be saved through that ark, through that vessel. Well, finally, after the bird doesn't come back, that door's open, they get out. You might think I'm kissing the ground. You might think I'm going to get a shower. You might think a lot of different things. You know what Noah thought? He thought, I'm going to worship. Look at Genesis 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Noah got off the ark and he worshiped God. Maybe he thanked him for considering him. Maybe he thanked him for his hardworking sons and wife. Maybe he thanked them that they were able to influence three girls to leave their families who perished in the flood. Maybe he thanked them for the safety. Maybe he prayed about the future. Maybe he asked God to keep his children, keep his family from evil. I don't know. Noah wasn't perfect. I don't know what all he did. But I know he took worship seriously. What did God do about it? When's the last time burning flesh and blood and boiling stuff like that smelled good to you? Chances are it doesn't smell good. But God said it was a sweet-smelling aroma. My singing may not be very good, but it pleases God's ears. My answers may not always be right when I speak up in Bible class, but it makes God very happy. You know, I may have come in tired. I may have come in beat down. I may have come in and I've got a million problems going on outside of here, but you being here today is a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And I want you to never forget that. Today, as fathers and whoever else of influence we are, it is my prayer, it is my urge that we all move forward. That we don't stand still. We don't sit idly by and allow the world to dictate and allow evil to run its course and allow things that are just sick and twisted to reign supreme in our lives, our children's lives, and everybody else we have influence on. Today, let's put God first. Let's worship continuously in spirit and in truth. That means we need to get back to spending time together. That means we need to get back to praying together as a family. That means we need to get back to having devotionals together as a family. We need godly fathers. We need godly mothers. We need godly children. We need godly families. And the best way we can do that today, you've already worshiped. It's time to start walking. It's time to keep listening. It's time to start working. Today, if you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're a teenager, if you're someone of the age of accountability that has not yet entered the ark, you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's not a greater example that you could leave today. Maybe you are here. Maybe you've quit working. Maybe you've heard something today. Maybe you've decided today. Maybe you said, okay, it's time. And you want to do it publicly. You want to be the example. You want to set the example. Or maybe there's another public sin in your life you need to come forward for. Jesus is going to come and sing a song, lead us in a song. And that song is going to give us the opportunity to do just that. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.